All right. Well, today we're going to go into a message called On the Run Part 2. On the Run Part 2. And the question that the Lord spoke in my heart is, are you running to something or are you running from something? Because we're all running through life, aren't we? We're always in a hurry going somewhere. Now, today we're going to be looking at how to respond to battles. Has anybody ever had a battle in their life, or are you maybe going through one right now? I think we all are, all right? There's battles that come in our life. And, you know, to me, life, you know, has its share of battles. You know, as you get older, you just kind of go through a lot of different things. And to me, it seems like there's always a Goliath out there, you know, coming at us, and we need to deal with that thing. Because if we don't deal with it, it's going to deal with us. Now, my personality isn't the type of person that wakes up every day and just, oh, another battle. You know, I don't have the Eeyore attitude for the most part. Every now and then I get beat up a little bit or get in a fight or two and get kind of beat down, you know. But, you know, to me, I don't wake up and just focus on the problems that are around me. You know, I try to focus on the solution, and that's Jesus Christ, because if you focus on the problems all the time, and I'm not negating they're not there, but I believe we get overwhelmed if we focus too much on what's going wrong. And so I try to focus on the victory, because we win because he won, and we fight from a place of victory. And I want to do a little recap just for a second. You know, last week we looked at the story of Jonah. And Jonah was on the run, but he was running the wrong way. God told him to go east and deliver a message, and he ended up going west, the opposite direction in which God told him to go. And what happened is that it finally took spending 3 days in the belly of a fish before he kind of came to his senses, and he decided to repent, and he said, that which I had vowed, I will repay, or pay, I mean. So he must have vowed to God that he would do anything that God wanted, and then he didn't follow through, but then he got it right, and he went and did it. So today we're going to look at the story of David and Goliath, and it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now I'm just going to read a small portion because there's so much in that chapter. I encourage you to read that story, and even read it at home to your kids. It's got a lot of good things in it, and I don't really have time today to really glean everything out of it, so we're going to pick a few things. Now, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 20 to verse 24, it says, "So David arose early in the morning and left the flock with the keeper and took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded him." Now, Jesse was his dad. "And he came to the circle of the camp where the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. Then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper, and then he ran to the battle line. And he entered in order to greet his brothers. And he was talking with them. Behold, the champion of the Philistines from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines. And he spoke these same words, and David heard them. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him, for they were greatly afraid." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for supernatural unction to be here today. I thank you for your healing touch and your healing power. I thank you for supernatural anointing to be here just rising up. I yield to the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. I bind up the devil from trying to steal the word out of our heart. And Lord, we're going to slay the Goliaths in our life today. Those things that try to push us back and hold us down, that keep us from your best, Lord. We just take authority over them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, I'm going to line the story out here because it's a long passage. I really don't like reading a whole chapter. I think I kind of glaze people's eyes over. So I encourage you to read that on your own. But what would happen is that the Philistines and the Israelites were at war against each other. And one was on one mountain and one was on the other mountain. And then there was a valley between them. Okay, so they were facing off. And then twice a day, for whatever reason, they would go out in battle array. And they would kind of look at each other. And that's as far as it went. Just looked at each other. And they were yelling at each other, trash talking probably a little bit. You know, just kind of said they gave out a battle cry. But they just stood there and didn't really do anything more. Now what would happen is then Goliath, this big tall guy, he would come down and he would taunt the Israelites. Now you got to understand, Goliath was around 9 foot tall. and your average Israelite was 5'6". So I'm sure that was kind of a tough little thing to have to deal with. Now that brings in the story of David and his dad Jesse, because David was the youngest of 8 children, and his oldest 3 brothers had been selected to go into the military. So they were in this battle array of the Israelites. So Jesse, David's father, was concerned about his sons, and he sent David with some cheese and some bread, or different odds and ends, and he took some food to his brothers, but also he took some food to the captain of the 1,000, maybe to give him a good spot in the battle line, I don't know. Kind of bribery a little bit, but they wanted to make sure he watched over his kids like any parent would, right? So that's kind of where this story kind of picks up a little bit. And what happened is that David arrived on the scene about the time when they were going out for their morning, you know, yell at each other, whatever, they, you know, trash talk. So the first point we're going to look at today is the concept of running to the battle. And different people have different personalities on how they deal with problems. Some people are more aggressive, some people are more laid back. The laid back ones you got to watch sometimes, because it'll build up, and then boom, right? Then they blow up. So it's good to kind of get some of that stuff out in a healthy way. But what happened here is David ran to the battle line. Something inside of him was drawing him. Now, to know the story totally, remember, David had been anointed king before this. You know, Samuel had come and God had directed him to Jesse's house, and all the brothers, 7 of them, paraded up to Samuel from the oldest down the line. And each one of them, Samuel said, nope, nope, nope. And then they ran out of brothers because David was out working in the field. And all of a sudden, hey, don't you have anybody else? Oh yeah, I got one, the littlest, the youngest. Well, go fetch him. Brought him in. He was the one. He was the one that God had called. So inside of him, when that oil went upon him, the anointing went upon him, things started to happen on the inside. God gave an impartation of the gifts and the talents and the calling that God was going to use him at in life. Then David didn't go to the palace. David went to the pasture. He went back out with the sheep. Doesn't sound right, but that's just the way it is sometimes. And we're going to pick that up in a minute. So here's David then. His dad had called him and he took the food, and then he left the stuff with the baggage carrier. But then it said that something inside of him made him run up there to see what was going on. So there's 2 times in this passage David ran to the battle line. This is the first one. And first he ran up there and he wanted to check on his brothers and kind of see what was going on. And, you know, and he noticed that both armies were there. And then he heard Goliath coming down and starting trash talking, speaking bad about God. And we're going to go into that here in a moment about what happened there. But the second time David ran to the battle, and that was a time when he was going out to face Goliath. And that was an intense time. I don't know about you, but have you ever ran towards a giant thinking to take him down? And that's what David did, and we're going to show that in a minute. Now, we do have a tend to run from our problems, and I think we need to deal with them. Now, Goliath was a 9-foot problem. Has anybody ever had a 9-foot problem in their life? You know, maybe something going on at work, maybe something going on in your marriage, you're dealing with the kids, and then this problem keeps going and going and going. And the longer the problem goes on, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's what happens when we start to look at things from the wrong way. Now, Goliath was a big man, and he had big weapons. Now, I looked up a couple things. There might be a little bit of discrepancy about the weights, but not too far off. Goliath's helmet was 30 pounds. His coat of mail, or his armor, weighed roughly around 80 pounds. His spear was around 30 pounds. And he carried a 15-pound sword. The average sword was around 2 pounds. So he was a big boy, wasn't he? He was tough. Now, just for sake of illustration, I want to have a couple people come forward. I would like to have, maybe a taller guy, 6 foot tall. Troy, you want to come up here? Okay. And just stand right here. How tall are you, Carson? 5'6"-ish? You can go up here. You're going to be the star. Okay, so this is about the height. This is 3 foot, roughly. You stand right over here, Carson. And this is about the height that of Goliath, because Troy's 6-something tall, and plus the 3 foot. So look at him, Carson. What do you think? Is he? Could you take him? You might get his kneecap, right? Oh, but wait. Oh, I forgot.
It would take me down.
There was another person there. Jeff, you want to come up? Carson, back up a little bit. Oh, no, that way, towards the pretty girls. There you go. Goliath had an armor bearer. When David went into the battle, he went all alone. And when he ran to the battle line, this is kind of what he was looking at. Now, if you can think that Goliath had a 15-pound sword, the shield was probably very substantial in weight. It wasn't just a baby shield. So he had to have somebody big and strong like Jeff to carry that shield. So when somebody of Carson's size ran towards it, he just didn't run towards one person. He had to look two people in the eye when he made that charge. Okay, thank you. Amen. Give him a hand. But see, that's kind of what our problems get like in time. We are about 5'6", and then we start to look at these problems, and they become a 9-foot problem. And they get big, and they get overwhelming, and they think that we can't take it. You know, a lot of people, as they go through life, some 9-foot problems that they deal with is, you know, maybe anxiety or depression. You know, our culture is getting bombarded now with so many things going on with anxiety and depression, which is oppression, and it's from the devil, and it gets in our head. You know, we need to get the mentality that we can bend, but we don't break. Amen?
Amen?
You know, whatever comes against us, and you know, sometimes life gets hard, especially if things don't go our way all the time, and then the enemy gets in there, and maybe you also have a 9-foot financial problem. You know, maybe you got more month than money. You know, and all these things come against you and you feel that way. Or sometimes people deal with loneliness. Go home and lonely, and they don't feel they have any friends or somebody they can talk to. So all these things get into our head and they start to try to manifest and they start to lead us astray. And they start to get us down on ourselves and they start to get us down on God. And see, that's kind of what happened here because for 40 days. Now how many, don't raise your hands, you don't have to, have been in a terrible situation for 40 days straight. Now that's a long siege, isn't it? You know, it's one thing to have a bad day or maybe a bad week, and we all have those. But I'm talking about 40 days of just torture. And that's what the people of Israel had. Goliath come out, and he was big and he was bad, and I would imagine he was ugly. And he would taunt them and tell them that their God is not big enough to deliver them. And that he's going to, and he wanted them to play by his rules. Now for me, I wouldn't have listened to his trash. I may not have ran up there like David did, but I would have tried to get the whole army to charge him at once and just put him down and keep on going. You know what I'm saying? But see, Goliath thought he was kind of like the devil. See, the devil thinks he can call the shots and tell what kind of rules we play by. See, the Goliath stood out there, and here he's 9 foot tall, and he's telling these 5'6" guys, hey, send one guy out and see if he can take me. You know what I mean? Winner takes all. I mean, who'd take that bet? Not a very smart person, would they? It's unfair. Who could take their 2-pound sword and fight a guy with a 15-pound sword and with a big shield? And I didn't even go into the spear. I mean, that was big. That's for long distance shots, you know. So that's how the devil works. And what happens is that it's all about mind games. And that's the Goliath trick. We can't let our mind be a playground for the devil. Because that's what happens. I've lived this. We've been going under a little bit of attack lately, ourselves, our family. Just the devil just coming in and he gets in your head. And he tries to play in there, and he gets you try to be anxious and worry about stuff and think in the worst case scenario. And if you let it go on, you're going to start believing the lie is now the truth. And that's why we need to fight back. If we don't deal with our problems, they're going to get the upper hand, because the problem will get into our head, and it's going to bounce around up there. See, I have a lot of space up there. When problems get in my head, they start bouncing around. You know what I mean? And I start thinking about them. And that's why we need to have the good shepherd. Now, a little bit about David. I want to just fall back on this a little bit, and we're going to go into that other stuff in a minute. See, David, when his dad told him to go, he got up early, and he went on a 15-mile journey. That's how far his dad's farm was, or ranch, or whatever you want to call it, over to the place where the battle was. He had to make a 15-mile trip, and he still got there in time for the morning battle race. So there was something in him that told him to get there. Now, he just didn't leave his sheep. David was very responsible, and I want us to see that today. It says in the scripture that he left the sheep in the care of a keeper, somebody else. So even though his dad had given him something was very important, and maybe the Spirit of God inside of him, because the Spirit of God knew what was going to happen later in the day, was pacing him on the inside, he still had enough knowledge to know that he's responsible for these little sheep, and he has to take care of them sheep. So he put somebody in charge to be able to do that. So he was a good shepherd. If you're a good shepherd, you're a good leader. Now, I believe we all have the shepherd spirit inside of us. And there's something inside of us that's going to make us run to that battle and to be able to step up and step out in the things of God. Now, my second point today I want to see today is private preparation. And this is where it's very important. Remember I said he was anointed king and he went back out to tending the sheep. Like I said, instead of getting to go to the palace and be able to be the leader, you know, David went back out to the pasture and he started to tend those same sheep that he was tending before he got anointed with oil by Samuel. So really, there's a timing issue in operation. I believe there's another Goliath that you and I don't like to deal with, and that's patience. How many are patient people here? How many are not? I think I get more hands, right? We're not very patient people. We live in an instant society where we can get information. I mean, you're just going somewhere and you don't know something, so you Google it, right? You get that information real quick. We're not very patient. So whatever happened, you know, David knew that he had to wait for God's timing. And God's timing sometimes is difficult because sometimes that patience is the Goliath that you and I face. And we need to be able to learn how to deal with it. And he did his best in whatever God told him to do. Because a lot of people, if you knew you were going to be king, would you really care about some sheep? I mean, if you look at things, you're probably going to eat some of them anyway, right? You know, I know they didn't eat them all. They sheared them and got the wool and things like that. But they're just the sheep. And what difference does it make? Because I'm called to be king. You know, that's my job. I'm going to be something greater, so this menial task is below me. But it wasn't below David. Because David did good in whatever God had called him to do. And what happens then is that he always did his best and he laid his life down. He risked his own life and he beat back a lion and he beat back a bear, put him to death. And so we need to develop an everything is important attitude. And I hope you have that. That whatever you do, wherever you go, everything you do is very important. Because what we do in private prepares us for what we do in public. If we don't take care of business in private, we will not be prepared for what we do in public. An old saying in sports is we play how we practice. If you don't practice well, if you don't try and practice, why should the coach put you in the game? You know, you ask a lot of coaches, you know, and the parents, I mean, I've been around those conversations. Why doesn't my kid get to start? You can't hardly tell them the truth. But, no, I'm kidding. They're all good, right? Amen. But in practice, they walk, right? They don't run. They walk. So how can you promote somebody who walks over somebody that's really trying in practice? You can't hardly do that. So that's why we need to have the understanding that when we get better, everyone gets better. So that's why we should try in everything that we do. Now, the last point I want to get at is that David kept his mouth right. Our mouth gets out of whack sometimes. You know what? It does with me if I'm not careful. You know, if I don't make sure my mouth is where it's supposed to be, I can speak words of death instead of words of life. And then you got to go apologize. You got to go repent. You got to do all these things that you don't really like to do. So David had to deal with a couple things, and we didn't read that. That's why I'm encouraging you to read the whole chapter. See, when David ran to the battle line first and started asking questions, his oldest brother got on him. Has anybody ever had a family member get on you? Maybe, you know, you told them something and then they just took it wrong, or they just tried to put you down. You can't do that. You know, all these things. That happens. And that's what David's oldest brother accused him of. What are you doing here leaving those sheep? See, he was probably jealous because he got passed over as king. And here his runt little brother got picked. You know, when the baby gets picked over the oldest, that's not a good thing, you know, in the family dynamics. So then he went there and his brother kept getting on him. And David, instead of arguing with the brother, says, "What have I said to you?" Went on and asked somebody else. Just moved on and confirmed everything. See, David was smart because if you killed Goliath, your family was tax-free. How many would love to be tax-free? Praise God. You know, that would be awesome. No taxes, plus a lot of blessings. You get to marry the king's wife. I don't know what she looked like or nothing, but that was a blessing too. You get to be around the king, you know. They didn't marry for love back then all the time. You know what I'm saying? Some of them were, you know, arranged marriages and marriages for power. So you got to be ready for friendly fire. And that's something that's hard to deal with because, and God, you know, God bless us. You know, we don't mean to put anybody down, do we? You know, in our heart, we hopefully don't go out and try to hurt people. But sometimes when we say something without thinking, you know, we can do that. And so we need to be careful we don't curse somebody's identity. You know, if you have a kid that comes up and says they want to be an astronaut, you know, bless God, go for it. You know, I'll do whatever I can, you know, whatever the case may be, or they want to be a doctor. You know, just try to encourage them in their vision. You know, if God turns it for them, that's all fine. Okay, now, what should we have in our mind? What should we say? When a Goliath comes up you, you know, and you're looking at him, I think we need to have the mentality, my God's bigger than that. Now, that's how David, when he ran up and charged Goliath, and he looked at that big tall guy with those big weapons and the guy he had helping him, the armor bearer, he sized up the situation. I'm not bigger than that. But my God is bigger than that. And that's what we need to remember if we're ever going to kill the Goliaths in our life, is that we're not in this alone. God is with us because God is in us. And when we go to that battle, we know that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And we have world overcoming faith inside of us. Because when that Philistine, I don't know about you, but I've told you before, I don't like it when people diss God, especially Jesus. Something goes off inside of me that I just want to take him down. Now, I know I walk in love, so I don't, because I can't do everything I feel like doing. How many knows you can't do everything you feel like doing? We all learned that, right? But I don't like it when people speak evil against God. It just bugs me. And see, when David heard Goliath out there speaking trash against God, here's what David said. "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would taunt the armies of the living God?" And he shot his mouth off in front of all the people in the battle there. And they all heard it. And they probably went, "What?" Because they're all shaking in their boots, man. They're scared to death. They do not want to have to go down there and face that giant. And then all of a sudden, when somebody had their mouth right, you know what I'm saying? Everybody looked around. Who's that little kid? Doesn't even have any weapons or any armor. And he's taunting Goliath back. He's just telling him like it is. Because David knew something that they had forgotten. And that's why we need each other. Because how many know we forget things sometimes? We get in the battle of life and things start to go against us. We get down. We get discouraged. And all of a sudden we start thinking the bad things and not the good things. And we think, where's God? We go into the Jesus on the cross thing. My God, why have you forsaken me? We feel that way, don't we? Instead of that God is with us every step of the way. And so David understood the power of covenant. See, when God cut a covenant with Abraham, there's rules that applied. And one of the rules was that if you attack Israel, it's like you're attacking God. You know what I'm saying? They were in covenant relationship with each other. So God's got your back type deal. You know what I'm saying? And David remembered that. And when he went towards that giant, he knew that he was an uncircumcised Philistine. He was not a person of the covenant, because the greater one inside of David said, full steam ahead, and let's go take care of this situation. See, we need to always remember who we are and what we have at our disposal. We're a blood-bought child of God. We're a child of the King. And he lives inside of us, and we're part of his family. And I know that as we go through life, we forget those things, because that's why we need to find another Christian brother or sister to be able to stand with us when we go through these battles. Don't run from the family of God when you're under attack. Run to the family of God. Find somebody that believes in God. Not everybody believes that God can do it. You know what I'm saying? So you just can't spout your stuff off to everybody. I've been saved long enough to know that. But I do know this. There's a few in this room, if not many, that will stand with you. So you need to run to this family. And you need to come and say, hey, I got this going on in my head. Am I looking at this right? You know? And then pray the prayer of faith. The Bible says one shall put 1,000 and two shall put 10,000. So there's strength in numbers, and that's why we need each other. We're never supposed to stand alone. It's so good to say, oh, just God and I did this, or me and God. I know that's not proper English, but, you know, bless God, we like to think we can do it all alone. But we can't do it alone. That's why we need other people in our life, other godly people. So we need to speak the answer and not the problem. You know, what we say will give us away. See, our mouth tells people what's going on in our heart and in our head. You know what I'm saying? You can look all spiritual till you open your mouth. How many's done that one? I have. You know, we've all done that. And so that's why we need to always say that my God's bigger than that. I'll tell you what, I believe this with all my heart. The first words out of your mouth when a problem attacks you will tell how long you're going to be under siege. If we start speaking doubt and unbelief and death, then that problem, I'm not saying you can't go to heaven. You're going to go to heaven. You're just going to have the tar beat out of you until you get there. And we don't want that, do we? So we need to learn to wear our faith on our mouth and be able to speak words of truth and words of life. You know, when the battle gets real bad, even if you don't know a lot of scripture, just say, my God's bigger than that. Amen. That's all you got to know. My God's bigger than that. And then keep on going. See, faith-filled words can turn our situations around in life. And David also knew as he went to that he could not fight that Goliath one-on-one with a sword. Number one, David didn't have a sword. You know, the story tells us that Saul, I don't know what it'd be like to be king. But I don't know, if he was king and some little scrawny 5'6" kid, he was still a teenager. I don't think he was 20 yet, because if he was 20, he would have been eligible to go to the military. Come on, told you, said, hey, I can take that giant. You know, have you ever had a kid tell you something you know they can't do, but you just want to let them try? You know, I don't know if that's what it's like, but, you know, David come up and said, hey, I can do this. So Saul, he said, here, wear my stuff. At least go out there with something, make it look good. You know, let's just get you dressed up right. Get my helmet and put this on, and they just didn't fit. Saul was the tallest guy in Israel, the Bible says. So I don't know how tall he was, but, you know, he wasn't tall enough to take Goliath, evidently. But, you know, so it didn't work. So David said, no, I can't do that. You know, I just got to go with what I know. So David had two things at his disposal. He had a staff, and with that staff is what he would use to beat back the wolves and the bears, and maybe it had a hook on it, they say, that would be able to pick a sheep up if they got in trouble. And he had a sling. Not the old slingshot one I had when I went out and broke windows. You ever had one of those? One that looks like a U with a stick on it? Ding, ding. Oh, my mom bought me something that had these lead pellets one time. I mean, that wasn't the brightest idea they had, you know. But anyway, I digress. But this was the kind of sling, two long strings and a little pouch, and they would swing it around and just let her fly. So David knew that he couldn't go close to Goliath. So he had to do what he knew he could do to be able to beat that champion. So what he did, you know, he grabbed them stones, and he reached down and he grabbed 5 stones out of the stream. 5 is a number of grace. And also the Bible talks about that God is our rock. So I believe that when he went at Goliath, he knew that God was his rock and that he was walking in God's grace, and he let that thing fly. And he hit that giant right in the forehead. And the rock sunk in his forehead. That 9-foot Goliath dropped right on his face. Now, doesn't really say he was totally graveyard dead yet, you know what I'm saying? So then David went out and grabbed that 15-pound sword and whacked his head off. Don't play games with the devil. Amen. Don't just let him lay there and see if he's going to start kicking. Amen. Use the word. Amen. This word is a sword. Put that giant to death. Put him down. Put him out of your life. Don't let him rise up again. We don't need no Terminators. You know what I'm saying? Terminator just keeps coming back to life and keep attacking. No, you just put him down. Don't play any games with it. So that many scriptures say that. So we need to stand on the word of God. So to speak and send the word in every situation that you have. Now here's the secret that I want to get to, and I want you to, you know, hopefully write this down. I know you guys all got great memories, but to me the shortest pencil is better than the greatest memory. And that's how it works. So the secret of how you're going to win battles in your life, if you're going to run to them and not from them, is number one, first we need to win the battle in our mind. That's where everything takes place, believe me. You got to win the battle in your mind. Then you got to win the battle in your mouth. And you got to speak words of life and words of power. And if you do those two things, you're going to win the battle on the field. And that's how you win. You know, I don't, you know, quote too many politicians very much, but we'll never get tired of winning. You know what I'm saying? We'll never get tired of winning. Because we win because he won. But we got to walk it out in faith. Everything in this world is not automatic. Don't just think just because you put it on coast and take it out of gear that God's just going to direct you to where you, that everything's just going to be fine. Because that's why he gave us faith. That's why he gave us the word of God. That's why we need to stand strong, and that's why we need each other. Amen? Yes. Amen. Let's pray.